Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. It's Thursday, and that means it's time for us to check in with our colleagues from Gothamist. We've got Jake Offenhartz, reporter Jake Offenhartz. Hi, Jake.
Hey.
They've got you. It's out of order, my sheet, but I'm going to do this from my heart. Jen Carlson, the site's editorial director. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
And Ben Yakis, who is Gothamist's art and culture editor. Ben, we're starting with you. Headline, charismatic subway cat terrorizes and delights riders.
Yeah, you know, it's really an urban jungle out there. That's my corny joke I've been planning all day.
Good on you. I'm glad you got it in there.
That's
early.
Nothing else.
Where did this happen?
Yeah, so this was a wild animal week. It wasn't just a cat, but the cat was on the one train. It was on a southbound one train in Manhattan. And, you know, obviously it's very common, very normal to see dogs on the train. People bring their best friends all the time. But it's a little unusual to see a cat, and especially to see a cat wandering around not belonging to someone. This was, as far as anyone can tell, just a stray cat that somehow got onto the subway.
I'm going to call you out on terrorizes. This is a tiny little cute kitty. It's
yeah.
the cutest little black cat. I'm calling you out on clickbait.
Well, yeah, this was written by my colleague Claire.
All right,
and she is a cat lover.
Okay, she's not scared of cats.
She's not scared. I think I may have suggested the terrorize at one point.
Well, it came from the reaction of the people who filmed it,
right,
saying, "Oh, this is a bullying cat."
Because the cat was going up to people and like kind of aggressively nudging them as much as a cat can aggressively
it
nudge.
It clawed someone really sharp. Like,
oh, it did.
Yeah.
Okay, then
it did
I take
terrorize.
Back it.
I suppose so. Didn't I have like an even harsher?
You did.
I had an even harsher take at one point, yeah, though I forget what it is right now.
This is a little tiny kitty. Okay,
it's
so it was
so
terrifying.
Sweet. Yeah.
So here's the other one. This is the big one. This one's, we've got audio to go with this one.
Mm-hmm.
The headline was, a freaking raccoon in the subway, exclamation, 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 question, 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 exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Okay, let's start with this. Is it common to find raccoons in the subway? I've never seen one. I've lived here 30 years.
Not super common. About 2 years ago, we did a story about someone with a pet raccoon, and she was feeding it on the subway, and it was super cute. But also, as I found out, you know, in terms of pets in the city, if they can fit into a container, they can be transported on the subway, except that raccoons cannot be kept as pets in the city, which makes sense for a lot of reasons having to do with their temperament and their...
creepy little hands.
Yeah, creepy little hands. So, but this was in particular, this was about an L train station in Canarsie that has been taken over by raccoons for quite a while now. And it came up at a transit meeting this week. And, but this station, I looked around online for a while and I found some photos and documentation that as far back as 2013, these raccoons have been hanging out and kind of in charge of this station.
Wow. So this raccoon gets on the subway platform, and this young woman starts taping it, and her reaction is priceless. We can't play all of it, and I think they got to the expletives. I hope so. Fingers crossed. Let's listen to this. This is up on Gothamist site right now.
Can you see that? That is a fucking raccoon.
Oh, no, they didn't get it. The whole thing sounds like a heart. Can we get to the rest of it by any chance, Matt? Matt says, no, I'm not trusting you with any more clips.
That was like the Blair Witch Project, you know?
But she's on the phone with her boyfriend. She's like, babe, it's a raccoon. It's coming towards me. I'm not kidding. It's in the trash. She's narrating. And by the end of it, she's like, oh, it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
But is the MTA doing anything about?
Well, this is why it was brought up at this meeting, because constituents have been complaining about this raccoon infestation. I don't think there's a plan in place yet of what to do. I think the MTA has a lot of things on their plate right now. But I do think now that it's been brought up, that most likely they will send in some animal control people and to take care of that.
And if you'd like to see that video, go to Gothamist, put in your earbuds, or use the Bluetooth so your neighbors don't hear any bad language. Jen, we're on to you. The TWA Flight Center will be home to a retro, quote, sunken lounge.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm very excited about this, except for I'm going to have to hang out at the airport now. The TWA Flight Center, which has been closed for 18 years, is that gorgeous, like, mid-century building that you see, and it's just, like, sitting there. It's abandoned. And a hotel is now going to be opening there. And in the actual part that, like, is from the 60s, it's going to be bars and restaurants and this lounge, which is probably the most recognizable part of that building.
It looks like the Jetsons house.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think it was in Catch Me If I Can. It was in some movies. That's going to reopen as this lounge.
So what's going to be, aside from its beautiful architecture, what's going to be special about this lounge?
I think incredibly overpriced drinks. They're going to have
themed drinks?
Yes. They're going to have a 1958 old airplane outside of the windows there, so you can, like, look at that while you're waiting. It's a nice, it's a nicer place to wait if you have, like, a layover, if you get to the airport way too early or you have a delay, you know, and you haven't checked in yet, you can go there.
So anybody can go here. You don't have to be on a certain airline. You don't have to have a special club card, anything like that.
Yeah, you can just go.
Do you know, Jen, like, do they use insulation so that, like, when planes are taking off and landing, it's not going to shake or it's something I always think about because, I don't know.
People were commenting a lot being like, well, who's going to stay there? It's going to be so loud. But, like,
they must plan ahead.
I'm sure the hotel experts have thought that, you know, we should probably think of this. So they actually did what was funny, like, change in their new press release. They put, like, all caps, all bold. Super soundproof rooms. They've heard the, you know, mumblings about people being nervous about that.
And now, when I see that in bold on a press release, makes me question it. I'm sorry. Maybe it's the cynical reporter in me.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Look how soundproof. Now you've thrown down the gauntlet.
I'm sure once it opens, we'll have a headline that's like, you know,
people are complaining.
Patrons of the hotel complaining about too much airplane noise.
I can't drink in peace.
Yeah.
Also, you have a great article about perhaps the most Instagrammable subway station.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening on the 28th Street line?
So the MTA has been putting up a lot of new murals all over the place. And this one has been like the one that everyone has been sort of seeing on their Instagrams. It's beautiful, floral.
Where is it again?
It's right by Madison Square Park. It's 28th Street in Lexington. Okay. It's not a very used station. It's just the 6 that goes there, really. And
that is a weird station because, you know what? You have 23 and then 33. It's a very short. Mm-hmm. I used to live over there.
Yeah.
It's the shortest ride.
Yeah.
Weird.
So it kind of brought up this question that I've been asking my coworkers, which is, like, should we really be spending money on art in the subway system?
This is legitimately a conversation Jen and I have once a week and argue about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which side are you on, Ben?
I am pro art. Jen, I guess, does not like art in general.
I'm sorry, I'm pro art as well.
I love it. I think that, you know, when there is less than a quarter of the subway platforms, like, are handicap accessible, we shouldn't be spending money on art. We should be spending money on elevators.
Oh, facts, Jen.
And the argument, I guess, is, like, we're not really spending that much money on the art. And
right. There's a certain amount of money that has been dedicated towards these art programs for years now. And as far as we know, we haven't gotten the exact numbers, but as far as we understand, it's a very small amount.
Small meaning like millions, though, still.
A couple millions, but, like, certainly, like, comparable to, like, the amount of money the MTA loses from fare hoppers, fare beaters.
Yeah.
And, like, that money is not going to fix the subways. We need billions to fix the subways.
And it's important for, you know, Morgan to look totes adorbs.
Well, yeah,
and
I wonder, like,
picture.
I think there's a great point about, like, you know, we should be focusing more on, like, the handicap accessibility.
Yes,
but at the same time, like, my conclusion that I reach with Jen is, like, so, like, what happens if we aren't fixing and renovating and putting art up at these stations? They're going to be disgusting.
They mostly are disgusting.
Exactly. So, like,
she's like, and your point is, it's New York.
Whatever little they can do to, like, you know, make it a little more pleasant to
take the money from the art bucket, move it over to the fixing the everything else bucket.
Can we share?
Later, after all that, we can get art.
In like 100 years?
We won't be here for it, but
all right,
someone will.
You two take this outside. Yeah. All right, we're going above ground to the buses. Jake, although you're telling me in your piece with the headline, pedestrians race crosstown M14 bus to highlight need for dedicated bus lanes.
Yes.
So there's issues with the M14. What's happening?
I think there's issues with a lot of buses, specifically that they're so slow. The M14 is, like, specifically in the middle of this L-train fight. So for the past couple of years, the MTA has been saying that they're going to run this busway across 14th Street. And for a lot of transit activists, this was like a real kind of test case in like how to speed up buses, maybe at the expense of private motorists, and how to really like prioritize these constituents who have been underserved by the city's buses for so long. Last week, the MTA announced that that plan was gone because the L train plan is gone. Transit activists are not happy about that. And so yesterday morning, we raced the bus.
By race, you mean on foot. Let's take a listen to some people who are part of this. They believe they can outwalk the M14.
The M14 is one of the slowest buses in New York City. It moves at an average speed of 4 miles per hour, which we might as well walk to the destinations that we're going to.
1, 2, 3,
go!
Here we go, Sam. We got the lights.
Oh, man. We're still loading.
It could take 45 minutes to get from 8th Avenue over to Avenue B where we live. It's ridiculous. You could walk faster. In fact, sometimes I do walk.
That's one of the reasons why buses are so slow here. Cars, including NYPD traffic, think they can park in the bus lane. People think that taking the bus isn't worth their time and energy. It's too slow, stops too frequently, and it's unpredictable how often they're going to come, and sometimes they bunch when they're together. There's a whole host of reasons of why the bus system in New York City is bleeding ridership.
I know it's serious, but boy, they make activism sound fun. There were sound effects and
power
all
walk. It was fun.
So is there anything on the board in talks to alleviate this issue, specifically the M14?
Not specifically the M14. Mayor de Blasio says that he's like not committed to a dedicated bus lane on 14th Street. There's no real plans to speed up this bus right now. Overall, there is, you know, Andy Byford, the New York City Transit president, has a new bus network in mind that's going to be phased in over a few years. De Blasio has vowed to speed up the buses like 25% by 2020. I think advocates, though, are wondering if the city is really committed to doing this, why are they tossing out plans that were widely supported on 14th Street?
So there will be more shame walking of buses to make their point, I guess.
More races ahead.
Jake, Jen, and Ben, Team Gothamist, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you next week. When we come back, we'll talk to the author and professor Sadia Hartman on her new book, Wayward Lives, Beautiful Experiments, Intimate Histories of Social Upheaval. You're listening to All of It on WNYC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.